blessed privilege to hear from our brother Hatchis of the New York Ecclesia, and he has a very interesting topic. He's going to tell us, who shall stand when he appears? Brother Hatchis.
Thank you, Brother Barton. I'd like to bring to you the love and greetings of Sister Hatchis. Sister Ruth gave her testimony a few days ago, and also the Thursday evening class from Flushing. I'd like to send to you the love and greetings, and also the Monday night class. The great New York friends, most are here, and those that they remain also, the same love and greetings. Who can abide his appearance? This is found in Malachi, the third chapter, 1-3, and I like to read to you. Behold, I will send my messenger, and he shall prepare the way before me. And the Lord whom you seek shall suddenly come to his temple, even the messenger of the covenant, whom you delight in. Behold, he shall come, saith the Lord of hosts. But who may abide the day of his coming? And who shall stand when he appeareth? For he is like a refiner's soap, and he shall sit as a refiner's and purify the son of Levi, and purge them as gold and silver, that they may offer unto the Lord an offering in righteousness. This, I believe, apply to both presents, the first and the second presents. Both presents, the son of Levi was purified. Jesus, the Messiah, was among them. Yet, they could not recognize him, they could not see him and acknowledge him. He was a controversy among the people. Contradiction. He came as a suffering Messiah, yet they expected him reigning Messiah. They could not accept Messiah suffering and rejected him. He was among them, but they could not recognize him. John the Baptist said, there standeth one among you whom you not know. Somebody stands among you and you cannot understand him. You don't know him. They see him, they talk with him, and they cannot recognize. It's a paradox. John 10:24, we read, then came the Jews around about him and said unto him, how long dost thou make us doubt? If thou be the Christ, tell us plainly. 3.5 years Jesus stood with them, talked with them, ate with them, he made miracles with them, healed them, taught them, guided them. They could not understand. Tell us why you keep our hearts boiling. Are you the Christ? John the Baptist, he doubted. But one thing he did, he sent emissaries. And he said, "Art thou that we should come, or do we look for another one?" Poor John. He was baffled. We don't blame the Jews. Even we don't blame John. John expected something different. He was in prison. And he read in the prophecies that the Messiah will open the prisons. And I'm in a prison. What he's doing? Jesus did miracles, signs, and he sent his emissaries, and he said, "Tell John what you saw and what you hear." Oh, John, he died in faith. When he heard what Jesus did and what he said, he died in faith. In Isaiah, the 34th chapter, 8th verse, we read, "For it is the day of the Lord's vengeance, and the year of recompense for the controversy of Zion." This is applicable to the two presents, to the first and to the second presence. Jesus and his presence was a controversy to them, as it is today. In Micah 6:2 we read, "Hear ye, O mountains, the strong mountains of the earth, for the Lord has a controversy with his people, and he will plead with Israel." In both advents, he pleads with his people, the people of Zion, the Israel, those who in the flesh, and these in the spirit. In both advents, there was a controversy in Zion, the Lord's people, about his presence. Who is he? They ask, who is he? Some they say, John the Baptist. Others they say, Elias. Others they say, Jeremiah. And others, well, maybe some of those prophets. They're baffled. They couldn't understand, and they could not recognize him. But Peter, he said, "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." But Jesus answered to that, "It's not by flesh and blood that you said that, but my Father has revealed to you." It's only by the Holy Spirit revealed to them that believe in him that Christ was present. In his first present and in his second present, the same thing is applicable. Only those that they have are imbued with the Holy Spirit to recognize his second present. They there was confused. Jesus was controversy and doubting. Today we have the same situation, doubting and controversy. First, are the Lord presence or still is future among the Lord's people? Second, are the Lord presence or he is half present and half not present? Some they hold, teach and believe he is present as a reaper, but as a bridegroom still is up there. Some they hold that the Lord will come someday in a rapturous way to take his church in a rapturous way, in a twinkling of an eye. Who can arrest them? Nobody. The Lord permit in order to test the sons of Levi, like a silver and like a gold. Fifth, some hold and believe that he has not to come at all, but he can govern from the Pleiades. Why he will come in person here? He's a divine nature. He can stay up there in his father's throne, and he can govern the condition upon the earth like his second presence. Who can arrest him? Nobody. The sons of Levi has to be tested. Six. Some hold that the testament of Jesus in Matthew 28:20, "Lo, I am with you always, even into the end of the age." Why he shouldn't come? He's with them always, and this spirit still prevails. I confronted years ago, "Brother, you are an English man. You went to school in England, in English. I am from Greece. But, you know, though I born in Greece, I'm from Missouri. I like to understand what I read. That's my nature. Tell me, in the Greek language," when somebody said in the Greek language, "he goes," and then also in the Greek language, "he will come," is that together in the English language? How you read in the English? "He goes," and "he will come." It's two different things, isn't it? Each one takes the word, not only of the Bible, but your word too, or somebody else's material, and they twist it to their own way. I said, "No, brother. When he said he's going, and when he said he will be back, it's two different things. Doesn't mean the same thing. When Jesus said in the 14th chapter of John, second verse, "I go away to prepare a home and I will be back," why you hold that the same thing as in Matthew 28:20? "I am with you always, even to the end of the age." There was tested, there was reiterated from this platform, but stop right there, sure. Why, these are two different things. "I am with you always, even to the end of the age," but he stated, "I will go and I will be back again, personally, not with my spirit, but personally." Well, let's see how Paul understood that. Paul, writing to the Thessalonians, he said, when Jesus will come the second time, we're going to meet him in the air. To meet him. I said to him, "Does it make to you any sense? This English language has any meaning to you? That he is going away and he will be back. And Paul understood that. When he'll be back, he will meet him in the air. And John said, and we're going to be as he is. Not as he was, but as he is. 1927, I was 6 years in the truth. I came 1921 in the truth. The truth found me, or I found the truth. I thank the Lord, as all we do. We was 100 Greek friends in New York, and we was with society in that time. In 1927, I was with Brother Rutherford, in Staten Island. Talk to the Greek population here with short wave and to Europe. And of all the Greek friends, he chose me. He tested my voice was carried. And we have the transcript, and I talk in the radio. And I was in Staten Island, 1927. And I hear him talking, and then he said, the Lord do not have to come personally second time to the earth, because he said, I am with you always. He can stay in the Pleiades and govern the affairs of the earth just the same, from Pleiades. 1927. Well, that time we thought Pleiades, the seven sisters, the stars, is a part of our galaxy. And they thought, the astronomers and the scientists, that our galaxy is the whole universe. And the Pleiades was the center of the universe. But when 1935, in Mount Palomar, the 2 inches, 12 feet telescope was peering to the sky, and they saw millions and billions of galaxies, Einstein exclaimed, I don't know. With all the brain that he has, and that nobody could understand him, now he said, I cannot understand. I don't know. So the Pleiades is not the whole universe that we are, that the throne of God is there. Maybe it is. We don't know yet how far the whole world is extended, the whole universe. We don't know yet. Now they try to find a telescope that is going to peer in the universe 15 billion light years. The Palomar telescope penetrates only 2 billion light years. With dismay and with sorrow in my heart, that spirit that the Lord does not have to come personally upon the earth, but he can stay in the Pleiades or in the throne of God, govern from there, holding the words of Jesus, I am with you always, even to the end of the age, they hold that in order to knock down the second presence of the Lord. They say it is demeaning, it is humiliating for a divine nature to come personally in this little sphere, in the atmosphere. Good reason, isn't it? divine nature. He can stay any place he wanted. And when the time comes, he will exercise his power in the affairs of man. And they call that second presence. But I confronted one and I said, "Brother, I'd like to tell you, when Jesus was resurrected after 3 days, in his first advent, he was resurrected divine nature. He didn't change nature when he went to his Father. And he stated, 'I went not yet to my Father.' He stayed 40 days and 40 nights here upon the earth without going to his Father. Divine nature. He stayed in Judea, in Jerusalem, and in Galilee. And he talked, eat, conversed, encouraged his disciples in Jerusalem, Judea, and up in the Galilee, the Sea of Galilee, where he stayed. 40 days and 40 nights, divine nature, here in this atmosphere of the earth. Is that dominion? Is that humiliating? Why? He can do anything he wanted. In the second presence, when he will come with all his glory, who can stop him from going to his Father and come back again personally?" I said, "Brother, do you know that Satan is the god of this world?" He said, "Yes," he stated, "that he is the god of this world." I said, "Do you know that he has a throne?" He opened his eyes, because in the King James version, it doesn't say that. It's in the Revelation, the second chapter, 13 verse. He said, "Where the throne of Satan is, he has a throne upon this earth and governs his minion all over the earth." One brother said, "I know where his throne is." I said, "Do you? Tell me, in Rome. Maybe it is there. But his dominion is upon the whole earth." I said, "Tell me, the spirits that was kept in prison, in Tartarus, here upon the earth, in the atmosphere or someplace here, not in heaven." Or that. That's the reason I say, friends, I'm born in Greece, but I'm from Missouri. I like when what we read, I like to understand what I read. And when I understand, I master and I'm satisfied. Someone called me that you are a narrow-minded. Friends, your master and my master, our master, was called worst. I am narrow-minded because I believe the second presence, personally second presence of Christ. And I believe that from 1874, the Sabbath, the 7,000 years, is the present, the presence of Christ. It has a stages, as we're going to see it. Some they have called the presence truth that we believe pernicious doctrine. I have a book here. I don't know where he found my name, about a month I have received, because it's published April 8, 1982. and is titled Searching for the Deep Things of God. The whole thing is to knock out the presence of the Lord, and that He will come in a rapturous way at once to take the church and to be with Him. And then in page 21, I'm going to read you, and I respect your intelligence. And I am sure that with my feeble way of expressing my thoughts, I respect that your intelligence know more what I wanted to say. He said here, and I'm quoting, Russell, he didn't even say Brother Russell, or at least to say Mr. Russell. Plain, Russell believed that the Mosaic law, if kept, will ensure eternal life to any Jew. But as none were able to keep the law because of their imperfect, degenerate condition, Christ has to come. End of the quotation. And they said, reprints page 823. This is quotation from the reprints what Brother Russell said, that the Mosaic law will give life to anyone who will keep it. But in account of their inability, it was not perfect, in account of that, Christ has to come. You get the idea? Now, look his comments, what he said. Page 23, 22 in the top. His comments. Russell's followers to this day repeat this pernicious doctrine. It is a doctrine familiar, similar to the works of righteousness, leading to salvation. There is not one scripture that promises eternal life to the Jews if they can keep the law. For all that the law promised, if kept, was that man's day would be prolonged upon the earth. End of the quotation. End of the... Now, dear friends, I'd like to spend time because I believe that you understand more than I like to say. The law, if anyone can keep, will give life. It was Brother Foss touch about this. But I'm going to expand a little bit. But because no one was perfect, no one was kept the law, that's the reason they died. The word prolong his life means eternal life. Now, how can we say that Moses, because in the five books, special Leviticus, Exodus, and Deuteronomy, does not use the word eternal life. And this person from Alberta, Canada, called Brother Russell teachings and the followers who believe that the law can give life to anyone who can keep the law a pernicious doctrine. But let's see how Jesus viewed that. You remember, it stated, Brother Foss brought Luke 10:25. I like to read from the Bible. Luke 10:25, a lawyer came to Jesus, and then he said to him, and before a certain lawyer stood up and tempted Jesus, saying, Master, what shall I do to inherit eternal life? The lawyer in that time means he who knows the law and expounded the law, a teacher. And he understood that anyone who will keep the law will have eternal life. And then he said, what shall I do in order to inherit eternal life? Jesus did not scold him, did not deny him. And he said, 26, he said unto him, What is written in the law? How readest thou? And he answered and said, Thou shalt love thy God, the Lord thy God, with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy strength, and with all thy mind, and thy neighbor as thyself. And he said unto him, Thou hast answered right. This do, and thou shalt live, thou shalt have eternal life. Also in Mark, the same thing as is reiterated. Paul understood that in Galatians 3:11-12, those that they would keep the law, they would have life. But because no one was perfect in order to keep the law, Christ has come in order to redeem all those that are in the law and those that was without the law. But that person from Alberta, Canada, they call this teaching, this belief, you and me, and Brother Russell, pernicious doctrine. Why you believe, dear friends and me, the present truth? Because the present truth is harmonious, because it is reasonable, and because it's scriptural. That's I believe, and I'm sure you believe too. Not because it was Carol Taze Russell that God make him steward or ruler upon all his good. Not in name. Maybe it would be John Alden, or in that matter, Pendle Hodges, if I was born in that ring. No, it's not the name. But it's the heart. It's the condition of the heart. Brother Russell's heart was receptive, was in position and condition, receptive way. And when the truth reached his heart, he accepted, he held it, and he spent and dispended, and he died in the train serving the Lord, the truth, and his people. Everything. And the Lord said he make him ruler over all his house. Now, many, they cannot understand that, or they don't hold that. They say it's not one person, but it's many. But yet, the Bible is explicit. That faithful servant who is steward, the Lord make him a steward to give the food to the household of cows in due time. The Lord make him do that. It's the Lord's food. It's not the steward's food. It's the Lord's food. And he explained to us the present truth, harmonious with the ages, with the work in every age, and we know the truth so beautifully and so harmoniously. I love the truth, I love the present truth, because the present truth was so powerful to take me out from Babylon. The present truth that I read in the volumes and expounded by the elders, by the speakers, by the pilgrims, was so powerful to take me out from Babylon, to destroy the Trinity, the mortality of the soul, fire and hell, to expand to me, to reveal to me the two faces of the kingdom, the resurrection, the restitution, the high calling, beautiful, the harmonious truth, the food that gives us nourishment and power and courage and health in the Lord and zeal. Not only that, but happiness. We rejoice in the truth because they give us stimulus in our heart to press on in the condition that we are confronted. like a Sodom and Gomorrah, the same thing as in the days of Noah. In the same condition the Lord's people are today. Never before, but now. And the truth, the present truth, was so powerful to take me out of that condition of Babylon, and you too. And we rejoice in the truth. Do you expect another faithful servant in the future? You know, friends, I believe that the second personal presence of the Lord and the faithful servant goes together. You cannot separate them. It's like twin. If you caught one, both will die. That means if the Lord is not present, then is not the faithful servant yet revealed. If the second presence is future, then the faithful servant is a future. Do you expect better truths that we have today? Of course, the revealment of the prophecies still going on, many that we expected, but we know. We expect it, we know the expectation, what is coming. We understand the word of God, we understand the prophecies. No. The Lord make Brother Russell, not because Brother Russell, but because his heart was in that condition, and the Lord used him. And I'm satisfied. Friends, I don't like sandwiches with salami and pastrami from Canada or from any other place. I'm satisfied, and I'm sure you are satisfied too, because you are here. And as we talked with one brother just a few minutes before, he said, why we get together in convention? Just to hear the talks? That's good too. But to see one other, to see the faces, to have fellowship with one another. That's the reason we make the conventions. To have a fellowship with one another. To encourage one another. That's the reason we are together here. And the truth that we have is nourishment. Give us nourishment, courage, and health in the Lord in order to press on. With smiling faces, not with a down heart expression. Zeal. You remember the word zeal is from the Greek word zeo. Zeal means sizzling. And Jesus said, the zeal of thy house has consumed me. Zeal, not lukewarm. The Lord's people who have the second presence, who have the truth, have a zeal in their own hearts. Now, I like to tell you about the two presences, the first presence and the second presence, the similarities of the two presences. There was harvest in the Jewish age, the end of the Jewish age. The end of the Gospel age is a harvest. There was a wheat, and now there is wheat. There was a chaff, and here is, how do you call it, tares. Both, they have similarities, and I'm going to tell you the similarities. Jesus in the first advent came with four titles. The same advent, but four titles. And every title is a work to be done. First, he came as a bridegroom. John said in John 3:29, he that hath the bride is a bridegroom, and the friends of the bridegroom which standeth and heareth him rejoiceth greatly because of the bridegroom's voice. This my joy therefore is fulfilled. Now John, he said, here is the bridegroom, and I'm his friend. And then the bridegroom has the bride. Now, the bridegroom was Jesus. The friend of the bridegroom was John the Baptist. Who was the bride? the apostles and few friends. Yet, John called them bright. What a difference of the customs of the today, the customs of the world. You know what many they think? In a good way, because maybe they don't understand there. Many of the friends, they say, when the bridegroom will be ready, and the bridegroom will come, and the bride will be ready, and when the priest or the minister said, one body should not be separated, and I pronounce you husband and wife, kiss the wife, and so on. And they think that, that's the custom of the way. When the bride is ready, then the bridegroom will take the bride. They take worldly custom, but God said, my ways is out of the ways of the world. No. The bridegroom was Christ, even with the few friends that he has there. Then he came as a reaper. Then he said unto his disciples, the harvest is plenteous. Pray therefore to the Lord of harvest that will be sent laborers to the harvest. So he's bridegroom and he's a reaper. Then he came forth as a king. And he did not present himself as a king in the first, but at the end, writing in a gold of ass, fulfilling the prophecy of Zechariah 9:9, be rejoiced greatly, O daughter of Zion, shout the daughter of Jerusalem, behold, thy king cometh unto thee, just and have salvation. He presented himself as a king. Then, 5 days later, he presented himself as a redeemer. In the second advent, 4 titles, he came as a king. And he said, Luke 19:12-15, he speak a parable concerning a nobleman. Went to far country to receive a kingdom and to come back. And when he came back, having received the kingdom, what he did? He called his servants to reward them. Now, Jesus alluded that to King Herod. King Herod went to Rome. He presented himself to the Senate with Caesar, August Caesar. He was eloquent. He captivated the Senate and proclaimed him king all over Judea. After he has received that Senate's certified and seal and took his with him, he went to Judea. And the first thing that he did, he called his cabinet. Jesus, when he alluded a noble man, the hearers understood what Jesus said. Because 40 years ago, happened to Herod the Great. So, second, he came as a reaper, chief reaper, 13th chapter of Matthew. Third, as a bridegroom in the night, a cry was made. Behold the bridegroom. Not behold the bride is coming, but behold the bridegroom. And fourth, as a restorer. All 4 titles.